SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
आप सुन रहे हैं SBS हिंदी। अपने रेडियो पर हर शाम सुनिए हमारा कार्यक्रम। आप हमारा कार्यक्रम हमारी वेबसाइट पर और SBS मोबाइल ऐप द्वारा सुन सकते हैं। sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाएं। Welcome. You're listening to SBS Hindi and this is Preeti Jabbar. Every year, cancer takes many lives. And behind every statistic, there is a face, a family and a fight. Today, we bring to you the story of a small lab that took on the giants of biotech and the two molecular biologists behind it, Jennifer McDiarmid and Himanshu Brahmabhatt, co-founders of Engenic, creators of a pioneering cancer treatment known as EDV. Moving from a humble lab in Australia to major hospitals and now to the world stage, it's a real-life David and Goliath story of science, determination and hope. You can watch the story unfold in a two-part documentary called The Cancer Killers on SBS Australia. The first episode is airing on Tuesday, the 4th of November, and the second episode on Tuesday, the 11th of November. And to tell us more about this journey, we're joined by one of the driving forces behind this discovery, Himanshu Brahmabhatt. Thanks for your time, Himanshu. For those of us who aren't scientists, what exactly is the EDV technology? And can you please put it simply, how does it actually help in the fight against cancer?
So the technology as such, we call it the EDV, standing for Engenic Dream Vector. But what it is, it's a tiny little nanocell, which is about 10,000 times smaller than the width of a human hair. So this little nanocell, we package anti-cancer drugs inside the nanocell. And on the surface of these nanocells, we also put targeting molecules such that it specifically targets only cancer cells. So what happens is when we inject these particles in the blood system of a cancer patient, it runs around in the blood, but wherever the cancer is growing, it locks onto the cancer cell, and then just like a Trojan horse, the cancer cell swallows our nanocell, breaks it down, and releases the drug inside the cancer cell. And so that's how cancer cells are initially killed. But the main issue is that because these nanocells are foreign to the body's entire immune system wakes up. And this immune system, it trains the immune system of how to recognize cancer cells. And when you effectively wake up the immune system, that is the most powerful way of knocking out even one cancer cell in the body. So whenever we have seen spectacular results in cancer patients, it is actually the immune system that did the maximum amount of work. It is not the nanocell itself is only killing some of the cancer cells, but the rest of the job is done by your own immune system.
Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. You also shared in your documentary that a colleague's final words inspired this entire journey. Can you please take us back to that moment and tell us what first motivated you to take on such a massive battle against cancer?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be a researcher at CSIRO, and prior to that, I had done research in other institutes in Germany, Switzerland. And throughout all this research, one continues along the research pathway in vaccines and other areas. And, life just keeps going on and on. And then one day at CSIRO, a technician was there in my laboratory. He was a fantastic technician. Everything, every experiment he did, sort of worked like a miracle. And I was very impressed by this fellow. He was only 40 years old. He had come from Hong Kong. And one day he was working in the lab and suddenly he just started coughing up blood. And I rushed into the laboratory and I saw this pools of blood everywhere. And it startled me. We rushed him off into the hospital and very quickly he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And I was really like shocked. This man had no vices. He was only 40 years old, and how could he get cancer this bad? And I used to sit there next to his bedside because I was so taken aback. And that one night, he just kept on staring at me and pointed his fingers at me. And he said, "If somebody can cure cancer, you can do it. So go and do it." And it sort of affected me a lot. The next morning, he was dead. And I just couldn't accept the fact that I was a researcher and so helpless, not able to help. So I turned everything around, just sat in the library, started from ABC of cancer, and just kept on studying for 3 months. And started coming up with some ideas as to what we might be able to do. And Jennifer McDiarmid was also in an adjacent lab at CSIRO, and she also got affected by the whole thing. And so we both of us, we just started tossing these ideas around. And ultimately, we came up with this idea of a nanocell, which might solve a lot of the problems of cancer treatment. And we had taken the idea to CSIRO, and they said, "Well, we are not into human cancer at the moment. We are into animal vaccines." And so we had very cushy senior scientist jobs at CSIRO, and we decided that we're just going to resign and go and raise venture capital and start our own laboratory and work on this cancer idea. And so that's how we got started, and that was 25 years ago now.
Wow, that's very touching. And you also just mentioned your research partner, Jennifer McDiarmid. Please tell us a bit about that partnership. What dynamics makes it so effective?
It was very interesting. I was for 5 years at CSIRO, and she used to work in a laboratory adjacent to mine. We hardly ever communicated other than in the corridor, just say hello once in a while, and that was about it. But all through, I got this gut feeling that, this was an unusual scientist. And so I wanted to speak with her about research and et cetera, but never really got a chance. It was only this particular moment where this patient died that we got together because she also came to the hospital to, look after him and things like that. It was only when we started communicating and then we jointly started this study on cancer for 3 months at late nights at the library that I got to understand how her mind thinks. And it was fascinating because it was like a debate back and forth. It was a constant tossing of ideas without ego. And that was the most important part of it because at no stage did she feel that her idea was more important than mine or vice versa. And that is very, very unusual among scientists. The ego always crops in and, you feel I'm better than the other person, etc. But no, here for a cause, we had dropped our egos aside. And I thought, this is the most incredible way we can actually work together and build something wonderful together. And hence we got together, and she has a life of her own, but she spends more time in the laboratory with myself. And for 25 years, we've had the same dynamic, and at no stage, we've had heated debates about things, but at no stage has the ego come into play, and which is the most wonderful part of it, that in research or in life in general, it's very difficult to find that sort of communication between two individuals where egos and clashes do not occur.
That's a great story, that, and that's taken you through all the pressures, the setbacks, and the breakthroughs that you have achieved together. Yeah. I'm really curious, how did two research scientists go from life behind the lab lens to being in front of the camera? How did you manage that shift for SBS TV?
It was also another coincidental issue there, where at one of the situations that had cropped up was that we were being threatened by some very rich people who had thought that, wow, this science looks fantastic, so why don't we grab the whole company and make a lot of money out of it? But for that, we would have to get rid of Himanshu and Jennifer.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And so they plotted to try and push us without money towards a bankruptcy. And if we were pushed into bankruptcy, then, of course, Jennifer and myself would just have to leave, and they would take over the whole company. And then they would, in their minds, they would go and make a lot of money. Mm. It was only at that time that, strangely, for some odd reason, some person called Mr. Morrison, he came to visit us. Now, this guy had come in from Switzerland. He was an Australian, and he had made a lot of money as a hedge fund manager. And he said, look, I understand the nature of the problem you are going through. This is very common in the field, and these people are going to swallow you up. So I'm going to help you. So he wrote immediately a check for $500,000, and he put it into the company, and that saved us. Only thing was that his wife was involved with this SBS documentary. Hmm. So he said, look, my wife's involved in these films, and prior to that, ABC had made an Australian story on us. So they had all seen the Australian story, and they said, this may be an interesting story to follow. So can you talk to my wife? And of course, his wife came along, and we agreed to doing the whole thing. And, 15 years later, they just continued for 15 years. They went through hell as well, because to film something live with no ending in sight, the people who funded the whole thing had to have had a great deal of patience to persevere for 15 years.
That is the main theme through most of the story, the documentary, is the struggle with the finance and the combination of science and business. That doesn't always mix, but you made it work. What was the magic?
I think that, you know, perseverance was very, very important. Two people helped a lot. We often say that if it was just Jennifer or myself, we would have been wiped out a long time ago. So many of the American venture capital people say that, look, in the United States, you two would not have survived for 25 years like this. Now, perseverance was one thing, but the other thing was incredible results kept on coming out each time. And each time it startled the scientific, the medical, and the business world. And everybody was startled to see things that they had never heard before actually happen in the laboratory and in the clinic. And so at every step of the way, they were left in a bit of a mixed bag where if we get rid of these two people, this thing may never come to life. Mm. And look at these results. And so hence, you know, it was a combination of constantly the carrot, new carrots. We kept up and coming up with a lot of different carrots. And somehow that taste of the new carrot kept them on. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
There are so many powerful patient stories in the documentary, from human trials to even dogs and canines. Is there one story that stands out for you, a moment that made all those years of effort, money, and perseverance completely worth it?
I think that the results that we saw in the lady in Los Angeles in pancreatic cancer, especially when she had gone through everything imaginable in the United States. She was under the care of one of the topmost pancreatic cancer specialists and researchers. And they had thrown every clinical trial at her as well, and she had failed everything. Her scans looked so horrible that there was no way of thinking that this person would survive. And yet today, 44 months later, she's completely cancer-free. And I haven't met her personally, but in the documentary, I got a snippet of the preview and I saw her smiling face. And I thought, my goodness, you know, this long battle was definitely worth it, even if it was just one person who achieved that kind of result. Because everyone knows that at that stage, it's impossible to pull a person out from that deathbed. And subsequently, we've also had cases with glioblastoma, where it's brain cancer, and these are horrific situations as well. And several of these patients have completely recovered from those tumors. Every patient's success is what really propels us into feeling a great deal of satisfaction that this pain was not in vain.
My last few questions. On the other side of what you've just mentioned, what would you say was the most emotionally draining moment in this entire journey for you?
I think that throughout, because a lot of positive news was coming out, we have been approached by so many cancer patients worldwide. And so many people have come, like in wheelchairs, etc., to our office to plead for help. Every patient has been emotionally draining, because while you look at the patient and you think, I'll do everything, I'll get you into the compassionate case study, I'll do everything. And then when that patient doesn't survive and all you get is an email which says, well, the person passed away. So in the early stages, when the technology was still being built and not yet refined, at that stage, so we saw a lot of deaths. And to this day, you know, our emails are literally flooded with just patients from all over the world, you know, asking what can we do. And then Our hope is that as this becomes more and more in these clinical trials where we can recruit a lot more people and see more of these patient successes, then hopefully those emotionally draining moments will decrease.
We'll hope so too. According to your documentary, the team eventually re-domiciled to the U.S. To list on NASDAQ. What comes next for Ingenic and for the cancer treatment innovation, if you can reveal that, of course?
So it's interesting that we are not only now focused in the U.S., where we have a major clinical trial, underway at the moment with 144 patient study, but we are also focusing into Asia via Singapore, and that's why we've recently established the Singapore subsidiary company. Because the interesting thing is that while most of these new cancer treatments are very expensive, and you know they're priced anywhere from $300,000 per patient to $1 million per patient, our technology is so cheap to manufacture that, unlike all these other technologies, ours can be made affordable worldwide. And so we feel that it is important that we focus in both the regions and try and get it into other countries like India, China, etc. as well as the Western countries. So we are focusing on both areas.
When I watched the show, two words really stayed with me: faith and resilience. For those listening who dream of following a similar path, taking their science, their passion, and turning it into something that can change lives, what would your message be to them?
I think that the key message is that when somebody's life is at stake, and if one wants to focus on that to try and make a change, then one does not have the luxury to look back. One does not have the luxury to hesitate. And hence, one has to steel oneself and go for it 100%. Everything else has to be put aside to achieve this goal. And that is the only real way to... And there will be a lot of boulders along the way. But keep pushing and keep going until you achieve your goal. And most people will achieve their goals if they are very, very focused on that and keep their emotions at bay and never accept defeat unless it was inherent in the technology itself. If the technology, that was exactly why we actually went into dogs, because we wanted to see, while we saw safety and everything, we wanted to see in a real life situation, will it actually work? And yes, indeed, we did 17 dogs over 5 years, and dog after dog succeeded. And it was fantastic to see that. So technology must not have loopholes, and one must be very, very critical of oneself to make sure that that focus is real, and the technology will withstand holes being blown into it.
Himanshu, thank you so much for sharing your story, for your faith, for your resilience, and for reminding us that courage and curiosity can truly change the world. I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. That was Dr. Himanshu Brahmabhatt, co-founder of Ingenic, whose pioneering cancer research is bringing new hope to cancer therapy. If you want to know how many years went into this crusade, how much was raised from investors, and what it truly took, the wins, the losses, the grit, don't miss this inspiring story on SBS Australia TV on November 4th and November 11th. You've been listening to SBS Hindi. I am Preeti Jabal. Until next time, stay curious, stay inspired, and stream free on SBS On Demand. SBS Radio se download karne ke liye aapka dhanyavaad. Hamara pura karyakram aap kaise sune? Iske liye sbs.com.au/Hindi par jaye.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.